Leander still wasn't back at the hotel, and Lucas was nowhere in sight. I stalked past McKinley without a glance, into the suite I'd slept in. I dropped down on the bed, laid my sword down carefully, and dug in my bag, retrieving Eddie's murder file. Jaframel closed the bedroom door and leaned back against it, his arms folded and his eyes alight. I looked at the file, set it aside with the sheets of paper covered in Skinlan scribbles, and held up one of the vials. The grainy substance inside glowed faintly in rainy afternoon light. Between Jaff's taut alertness and my own furious, tightly controlled pain, the walls groaned a little and subsided. My chest ached. My eyes burned, dry and determined to stay that way. Nevertheless, my hand shook a little, making the fine grains inside the glass vial tremble and spill from one side to the other. The mark on my shoulder lay quiescent against my skin now, no longer burning or spurring me away from shock. But the deep, prickling sense of Jaframel's attention remained, offering comfort, maybe. I looked over at the door. His eyes were half-lidded, the green glow muted, perhaps for my sake. Still, they were the most vivid thing in the room, so bright they cast shadows under his high cheekbones. We paused like that for 20 long seconds, each ticked off with a single deadly squeeze of my heart. My traitorous pulse still beat, reminding me I was alive.
She's dead.
Who is that, using my voice? She sounds defeated, hopeless.
I am sorry. If I could make it otherwise for you, I would.
I almost believed him. No, that's a lie. I did believe him. It was a shame he couldn't do it. I would have begged him for it if he could have. But death will not be denied. I held up the vial again, shook it gently. The grains inside rattled softly, mocking me.
What do you suppose is in this?
I closed my eyes, dropping my hand. It was getting harder to breathe. The air had turned to clear mud. Jaff's fingers slid through my hair. The touch was soft and intimate, a gesture he habitually performed in Toscano to request my attention away from my feverish research. He trailed his fingertips down my temple, over my cheek, infinitely gentle.
I would almost prefer your weeping. What would you have of me? Tell me what to do, Dante.
How savage can you be? Because when I find whoever did this, I want them to suffer.
Demons understand vengeance.
He touched my upper lip, tracing the curves.
Gods, what don't demons understand?
Humans.
I scooped up three of the four vials and handed them to him.
Keep these. They're safer with you.
If I can trust you to give them back, that is. But this is nothing you'd be interested in, I'm betting.
His fingers flicked, and the small plas-glass containers disappeared, just like the tiny origami animals he'd made out of my notes. He said nothing else, simply stood and watched me, waiting. I held up the small vial again, shook it. I opened the file, scooting back and pulling my legs up onto the bed, retreating from him.
Come take a look at this if you want. It's Eddie's homicide file.
Hooray for me, I almost sound normal.
Jaframel settled on the bed next to me.
The Dirt Witch. He was a good man.
He was.
I steeled myself, looked down to find the laser print of Eddie's mangled body glaring accusingly up at me.
God above.
Perhaps you should be still for a moment.
Jaframel leaned back until he half reclined on the bed, propped on his elbows. It was a curious pose for someone so controlled, especially with his hair slightly ruffled. A vulnerable stance, exposing his stomach. I shook my head. My rings sparked, golden in the charged, swirling air. The temptation to draw my sword and start hacking at the graceless, ugly furniture was overwhelming. I looked back down at the file. My blade rang softly inside its sheath. Jaframel reached over, his golden fingers closing on the file. He pulled it away from my unresisting hands, closed it, set it aside. Then, deliberately, he lay back on the bed, his fingers laced behind his dark head. I felt the weight of his eyes on my back, looked down at my hands.
I should look at it. I have to start finding out what I can. I have to.
I know, but not yet, Dante. Not just yet.
God damn you, why not?
There is nothing you can do at just this moment. Be still. A hunter does not rush blindly after prey.
It didn't help that he was right. I was so keyed up, I would maybe miss something important by forcing myself to look through the file now.
I have to think clearly. I have to be cold, chill, logical. I have to be.
So what could I do?
Think about it. Just sit still. Study.
But sitting still only made me more aware of the weight behind my eyes. The clawing in my chest.
Don't, Danny. Don't think about that.
I jerked, moving as if to lever myself off the bed, but Jaframel caught my wrist and pulled, catching me by surprise. My balance tipped. I landed hard, ending up trapped in his arms with my sword between us, the holster of a plas gun digging into my hip and a projectile gun higher up, shoved painfully against a floating rib. Knife hilts dug against my ribs and pressed into my back.
Be still.
Jaframel spoke into my ear, his breath touching my skin and sending a hot spill of sensation through my flesh.
Please, Dante.
I kicked him, twisting to get free, the plas gun digging even deeper into my hip.
Let me go!
No.
His arms turned to iron bands. It was a novel kind of sparring match. He was demon. I was only a lousy human infected with demonic power. No contest. I started to struggle in earnest, earning myself a starry jolt of pain when I cracked my head against his shoulder and finally collapsed, his leg over both of mine, his arms almost crushing me.
Let go.
I contemplated biting him.
What are you fucking doing? Let go of me!
You are in a mood to harm yourself. When you are calm, I will let you go, not before.
God damn him, he's right.
I was in a space between agony and revenge. I could easily see flinging myself out the window, running, smashing my fist through the wall just to break something, hurt something, kill something.
I am not going to harm myself. I'm gonna kill whoever did this to her.
Very well. This is only a hunt like any other. You are starting ill and will finish badly if you do not calm yourself.
The spice and musk smell of demon drenched the bed, filled my nose, coated the back of my throat.
Damn demon pheromones. He smells safe. Oh, gods help me.
After a long pause, he rested his chin atop my head. I shut my eyes tightly, willing the stone egg inside my chest to stay hard and smooth, impenetrable. It didn't help that I could see the cool logic of what he was saying. If I started out half-cocked and crazy, I'd get nowhere. And Gabe might be unavenged.
Like Doreen had been unavenged for so long. If I'd been smarter or faster or a magi, I might have recognized Santino for what he was and Doreen might still be alive. If I'd been stronger and not half crippled from killing Santino, I could have kept my promise and saved Eve. If I'd been faster, able to use all the preternatural speed Jaff had given me, Jace might still be alive. If I'd been home instead of hiding out with a demon in Toscano, Eddie and Gabe might still be alive. If.
I hated that dried up, prissy, disapproving little word. I'd even blamed myself for Jaframel's first death, though he had indisputably come back.
Calm. Calm, my curious one.
I'm all right. Really.
I doubt it.
He kissed my hair. A slight, intimate movement.
If you continue in this manner, you may well drive me mad.
Drive you mad? What the hell does that mean?
I do not like to see you in such pain. What will you do first?
I contemplated the question, trying to find a comfortable way to lie with my rig on. It didn't happen.
Jaff, let me up. I've got a plas gun trying to burrow into my hip and a projectile gun looking for my spleen the hard way, okay?
Perhaps I like holding you. We have had little closeness of late.
We may not have a whole lot in the foreseeable future either.
If you'd quit hiding things from me and pushing me around, maybe we'd have more.
Oh, shit. I really don't have time to get into a spat with him. I really don't.
I am not your enemy.
Oh, yeah? Prove it.
What? Prove it? What the hell does that mean? I sound like a spoiled brat.
If you like.
That only irritated me more. The fresh frustration was tonic, pushing aside the numb blackness of shock and grieving horror. I bit his shoulder, sinking my teeth in, but his arms didn't loosen, and his body tensed in a way I was all too familiar with.
Well now, don't I feel silly?
The taste of musk and night and demon filled my mouth, as intimate as a kiss. The material of his coat slick and pulsing with power against my lips. It reminded me of just how long it had been since I'd had him. Felt the blessed relief of not having to think, trusting him with my body. I tried to pull away from him again, achieved nothing. It was too much. One thing after another. From Sarajevo to Saint City, so much death and destruction piled on top of an already strained mind. How much more could I stand without breaking?
I'll show you temper, you supercilious son of a bitch!
I inhaled and held my breath, my eyes squeezed shut. 15 seconds. 30. The blackness behind my eyelids exploded with pinwheels and bursts of color, far more vivid than real life. The blue glow of death rose too, the place inside me where the god lived opening like a flower. For the first time, I didn't want to escape into that glow. Kept myself away by a sheer effort of will, lungs crying out. My pulse throbbed in my ears and throat, and the rising tide of desire was almost swamped by the sudden urgent need for oxygen. Jeffermel's arms loosened. He shook me, hard but just short of hurting. I opened my eyes to find him watching me. His eyes were incandescent, silken green. For a moment, he looked like Lucifer. The resemblance was so sudden and striking. My heart slammed into my throat and demon adrenaline jolted my entire body, leaving me gratefully alive and thinking clearly for the first time since passing through Gabe's front gate that day.
Do not ever do that again.
Bingo, Danny. We found something that works to irritate him.
I felt equally childish and vindicated, as if I'd suddenly gained some kind of control over the situation.
Or what?
If my voice hadn't been shaking so badly, I might have almost sounded tough. I finally worked my way free of his arm.
Or I will teach you not to do so. Think what you like of me. I begin to believe you will anyway.
Gods above and below, does he actually sound hurt?
I could barely believe my ears. He stalked away, and I was too badly shaken to say a word. I hunched on the edge of the bed, buried my face in my hands, and shoved down the tears. After a long, shaking moment or two, I dropped my fists into my lap, looked over at the file, lying innocent against the now rumpled bedspread.
First thing I've got to do is wait for nightfall. Then, I've got to see Abracadabra.
I lay curled on my side, my sword clasped in my hands, my rig at the end of the bed near my booted feet. I puzzled over the idea of the key and the roof of the world. I thought of what I would do when I saw Abra, and I thought of what I would do to whoever had hurt Gabe. I brooded most on that, and on how I would find Gabe's daughter. I chewed over the problem in my head, not coming up with anything new. I tried not to think about acting like a spoiled little brat. I was beginning to deconstruct under the stress. I needed a good clean-out meditation session to keep my head straight. The faster and harder I ran, the more I'd need a clear head and a sure hold on my temper.
First, though, I have to rest.
A twilight doze fell over me. It must have been close to dinner time when I was awakened by Jaff and McKinley speaking in the other room.
Jones is right. You should—
I did not ask for your opinion on this matter, McKinley. I asked for your loyalty as my vassal. there is a difference.
I've served you faithfully. I'd be remiss in my duty if I didn't warn you it is dangerous to allow her to treat you like this.
What do you suggest? I should chain her in a sanctum like a nicked friend's plaything? Or that I should allow her to commit a foolhardy suicide and fall with her into darkness?
Foolhardy suicide? Just what does he think I'm gonna do? Of course, he can't have too high an opinion of my maturity right now.
It was time to get a few things straight with him. I lay utterly still, pieces of both puzzles revolving inside my head, waiting for dark when I could uncoil like a snake under a rock and begin hunting.
You put it that way, it gets a lot clearer.
It is no small choice. Her hatred or her pain, I do not know which is harder to bear.
Precognition tingled along my skin, prickling with tiny diamond feet. It isn't my strongest talent, not by a long shot. But sometimes I can get a flash of something useful. Sometimes. But not when my heart was aching this badly. Not when I all but vibrated with the blood-deep hunger for revenge.
I want to start killing.
And I wasn't too choosy about who I started with.
Anyone would be fine.
That thought alarmed me a little. The precog refused to come. Just the sense of danger and a creeping sensation against the flesh of my wrist above my dat band. I'd taken the gauntlet off, but my skin still tingled with the feel of it. Loathing touched the back of my throat. I forced it away.
Relax, Dante. Nothing you can do right now. Just breathe and wait. Hold yourself still. Don't even think. Just breathe.
I did. I tipped over the edge into gray nothingness. It wasn't the dead unconsciousness Jaframel could lull me into, the sleep that was a restorative for my human mind. No, this sleep was more like the restless tossing I'd had all my mortal life, my conscious mind paralyzed by too much stress and sliding out of commission like a disengaged gear, spinning fruitlessly while the deeper parts of me worked. Intuition and insight, grinding finer and finer until they would present me with the wrench jamming the works. Inducing a precognitive vision is hard God's damn work, and I failed miserably. But something else happened, something I hadn't done since I'd been human. I dreamed.
This isn't the Hall of Death.
I gathered up my skirts as I negotiated a wide, sweeping staircase. The vast, parquet floor of the ballroom below shimmered mellow under many layers of wax and care. I recognized this place. It was the Hotel Armagnier in Old Quebec. I'd stayed here once on a bounty hunt, ending with a clean collar in the teeming sink of the Corps in Manhattan. The Armagnier was expensive, but a hegemony per diem had covered it, and right after Dorian's death, I hadn't cared if it was pricey. It was maid-shielded, had a sparring hall, and the staff were mostly Psy-friendly. That was worth a little credit. Besides, I'd just been knifed, shot at, and hit on the left arm with a ring bar while engaging in a slickboard duel with the bounty I was tracking. I figured I deserved a little relaxation while I waited for him to screw up and give me something to work with to bring him down. The ballroom had been one of my favorite places, mostly deserted during the day, quiet and full of space where I could run through katas without being gawked at or challenged to a sparring match I wasn't in the mood for. Long, narrow windows looked out on a night pulsing with neon and city life. I heard the thump of a nightclub on the other side of the wall by the stairs. That told me it was a dream. The Armagnier's walls were thick, and you would no more hear a nightclub than you would hear the staff whistling the Pushkin anthem. The other clue that I was in a dream was the fantastic pre-American era illustration of a dress. Red silk long skirt, a bodice just short of indecent, and long sleeves that billed over my hands. My human hands, not gold-skinned demon hands. I saw the well-healed scar on my right thumb, the different texture of pale human skin, the crimson molecule drip polish I used to use.
A fading bruise was turning yellow on the back of my right hand. With the fuzzy logic of dreams, it all made perfect sense. Even the dream copy of the necklace Jace made for me. Silver-dipped raccoon bacula and blood-charged bloodstones was there. It hummed with power. I reached the bottom of the stairs, my pulse pounding. I felt naked. I had no sword, none of the familiar weight of a rig against my shoulders. As I moved across the floor, I felt cold waxed wood and the grit of dust against my bare, tender human feet.
You look beautiful.
I whirled. He leaned against the wall between two windows, his face in shadow except for the bright points of light in his blue eyes. My mouth turned dry and slick as desert glass. Jace Monroe hooked his thumbs in his belt. He wasn't armed either.
Hey, Danny. Spare a kiss for an old boyfriend?
I'm dreaming. Dreaming. I have to be.
Of course you're not dreaming.
I smelled peppered honey that was Jace's magic. The smell of a shaman. The smell I'd missed without knowing. He moved forward into the dim light.
I don't think much of the choice of venue, Sunshine. Never had you pegged for a romantic.
Another shock. He was the young Jace of the days of our first affair, moving smoothly and without the telltale hitch from his injured knee. His face smoother without age, and the bitterness that had crept up and glazed over him like varnish. Even his haircut shouted it, shaggy but obviously expensively trimmed. I'd forgotten that about him. Forgotten the antique Bulgari chronograph he used to wear glittering over his datband. Forgotten the lopsided charming smile he used to use on me. The one I'd fallen for. He folded his arms.
This has got to be the first time I've ever seen you speechless. Don't talk too soon. I'm enjoying it.
You're dead. Mirovich killed you. Gabe set you free in the hospital. You're dead.
Of course I'm dead. But am I gone? Not on your life, Danny girl. I don't have much time right now. You're heading into dangerous waters. I'll help all I can.
A shuddering impact hit next door. The wall behind the stairs creaking. Dust pattered down from the ceiling. I flinched, my right hand searching for a weapon that wasn't there. I didn't just feel naked without my sword. I felt lost and panicked, and uncomfortably like I was having a nightmare. Jace's hand closed around my wrist.
Gah!
I damn near levitated. Anyone getting that close without my knowledge spooks me.
Listen to me. You have to wake up now, Danny. No time for fun and games. Wake up and get moving. You got a lot of trouble on your tail.
I opened my mouth to say something, anything, but he shook his head. I drank in his face, the angle of his jaw, each small detail lovingly polished. Jace's fingers burned, clamping down hard on my left wrist, clasping like chill heavy metal quickly warming to my skin.
Wake up, Danny! Wake up!
I don't want to!
My hair slid forward, my old human dyed black, dead, dark, lifeless hair. I never thought I'd be so glad to see split ends again.
I don't want to wake up! Ah!
A vice grip clamped around my right shoulder and ripped my body free of its moorings.
Ah!
I felt the snap as whatever space holding me was torn away and I fell, arching my back and landing on the floor beside the bed hard. I blinked up, a pair of familiar yellow eyes meeting mine. The tip of my blade caressed Lucas Villalobos's throat. Blue flame ran through my sword, its heart showing a thin thread of white fire. I had also lifted my left arm instinctively into a guard position when I'd landed on my ass. My eyes snagged on my raised wrist, clasped against my golden skin. The cuff of silvery, demon-wrought metal glowed.
I didn't put that back on.
Time to go.
Darkness, broken only by the glow of a small nightlight fastened into a wall plug, filled the room like deep water. Shadows lying over the top of unfamiliar furniture.
Get up, Valentine.
It was small consolation that I'd been ready to kill him. He could have slid a knife between my ribs while I was lost in whatever trance had taken me. My eyes were grainy and my entire body felt torpid, like I'd been shaken out of a dead sleep in the middle of the afternoon. It was a very human feeling. It was also profoundly unsettling.
Where's Jeff Ramel? What's going on?
Of all the things I could have said, I settled for the most predictable.
What the hell?
Had to wait until your boyfriend left, chica. Come on.
Lucas's sleeve was torn and soaked with blood. His yellow eyes were dead and dark. His lank hair fell in his face, and he wore the widest, most feral smile I had ever seen on him. Either post-coital or post-combat, it was wholly scary. His teeth gleamed white in the dim bedroom.
Abra wants to see you tomorrow. I found out some of what the demon's up to.
Great.
I ducked into my rig.
Where's Jaffermel? I thought he wasn't gonna let me out of his sight.
I didn't smell him, and the mark on my shoulder pulsed softly, absently, coating my skin with now familiar power. A few seconds worth of buckling had all my weapons riding in their accustomed places. I passed the strap of my bag over my head, shrugged into my coat, and I was ready to go. My katana weighted my left hand as I followed Lucas out into the rest of the suite, which was, to put it kindly, a shambles. The furniture was destroyed, chairs and tables smashed, the Holovid player shattered, and a large imprint rammed into the wall between the suite and the bedroom. Jaffermel was still nowhere in evidence. I wondered where he'd gone.
Ahmed Saez, I slept through this.
You've been sleeping a lot, chica. Even on your feet. It ain't like you.
Lucas jerked his chin at a shape lying on the floor by the Nivron fireplace. It was McKinley, bleeding from the nose and ears and gagged with an anonymous bit of cloth held down with mage tape, trussed with a thin golden chain that shivered and smoked in the light from the upended lamp. He caught sight of me and started to struggle. Leander, now shaven-cheeked, his accreditation tat twisting under his skin, nodded from the windowsill. He stood with one hip hitched up against the sill, his sword shoved into his belt and a plasgun in his right hand, peering down into the street below. His dark hair was wildly mussed.
Hi, Danny. Sorry I had to bail. I thought it best I didn't stick around after the demon warned me off.
Warned you off? What the hell?
Huh. What the hell's that?
I pointed at McKinley, whose black eyes narrowed. He was either furious or terrified, I couldn't tell. A whiff of burning cinnamon and dry naphtha scented the air, as if his glands had opened to pour out chemical reek.
The demon left him here, probably to watch out for Sleeping Beauty. Let's go. The back of my neck's itching.
So is mine.
Left him here? What the hell? It isn't like Jaffermel to leave me alone. Where the hell is he?
The last time Jaff had left while I was unconscious, it was to go into hell and start the process of dragging me back into a huge mess full of demons. One happy little home in the Toscano Hills burned to smoking rubble in a reaction fire, and my life crashing down around my ears again.
What's Jaff been doing, Lucas?
My hand dropped to a knife hilt as I contemplated McKinley, who went absolutely still. He was bruised all over his face, and I was sure one shoulder was dislocated by the way it rotated too far back. This was twice Lucas had faced down a Hellasfront agent and come away the winner.
I am so glad I hired him. Well, technically Eve started out hiring him, but I'm glad he's working for me.
With a clear-cut emergency in front of me, I felt better than I had since I'd received Gabe's message.
Gabe.
I pushed away the thought of her broken body, the emerald dark and lifeless in her pale cheek.
Focus, Danny. God damn it, focus!
Broken plasilica ground into the carpet under my boots. The dangling, almost chandelier light fixture had been yanked out of the ceiling. The wet bar was a chaos of broken glass and the shimmering stink of alcohol, reminding me of DMZ Sarajevo. A shiver bolted up my spine, was ruthlessly quelled.
There's another demon in town. And word is your green-eyed boy is tracking it down, as well as some other interesting shit. I got you an interview with a Magi who might know what the fuck's going on. Let's get the hell out of here. The whole fucking city's seething. Something about a dead necromance and your name tangled up together.
Gabe, someone knows.
I can't leave you alone for a fucking minute, can I?
Guess not. I drew a knife with my right hand. McKinley's black eyes met mine. He strained against the gag.
Jaffermel's hunting Eve's rebellion here in Santiago City. Why hasn't he told me?
You must trust me to do what you cannot.
Jaffermel rarely said anything he didn't mean.
And here I thought he came along because I needed him. Silly me. He's doing the same thing he did before, going behind my back. Of course. Why expect him not to? It's what he does. Too bad I'm only finding out now.
The knife flicked from my right hand, burying itself in the carpeted floor less than an inch from McKinley's nose. I tried not to feel the hot, nasty wave of satisfaction curling through me.
You told Jeff it was better to tie me up and do whatever he wanted, didn't you? And he left you here alone with me. You son of a bitch. No wonder you work for demons.
Tell Jeff, Ramel. Tell him exactly what I am about to say, McKinley. If he comes after Eve, he's gonna have to get through me first.
That spurred the agent to frantic motion, twisting like a landed fish inside the thin golden chain. I didn't even want to know what it was made of. My thumb caressed the katana's guard as I stared down at him.
That won't hold him forever. You have other hovers to fly. Come on.
Lucas opened the window and stepped out onto the fire escape. Leander ducked out the window. I did too.
At least the window isn't shattered. Someone's gonna owe the hotel a bundle for that room.
Outside, the night was cool and cloudy. The cuff was heavy on my left wrist above my dat band.
Did Jeff Ramel put it on me before he left? While I was dead to the world, unconscious, or tranced into a high alpha state? Dreaming of Jace? Or not dreaming?
The gauntlet shimmered, my skin crawling underneath it. It bothered me more than I wanted to admit. I wanted to stop and peel the damn thing off again, but we had precious little time and I didn't want to have my hands full of jewelry if the other shoe dropped.
So where are we going?
Lucas had taken a position just behind my left shoulder, watching my back and scanning the street in front of us at the same time.
Where's this Magi?
In the Tank District. Just follow Leander, chica. We'll get you there.
On when Carlyle lived in a rickety, filthy apartment building in the Tank District. And not a nice part of the Tank, either. This close to the Bowery, the worst festering sore in the middle of the Tank, the air was full of pain. Bloodlust, desperation, chill freaks, pimps, hookers, mob runners, and other human flotsam congregated there. The Tank is where you go if you're a rich techno-yuppie slumming, or a bounty hunter looking to connect with the shadow side. It's also where you don't go if you want to get through the evening without a fight. It isn't as bad as the Core in Manhattan or the Dark Side in Paradise, but it's bad enough. The urban renewal that had gone through Trivisadero hadn't visited this part of the Tank. It was likely none ever would. This close to the rat hole where the skate tribes congregated, renewal wasn't a priority. Survival was.
Oh, gods.
The smell inside the sloping tenement was incredible. Dirty diapers, piss, desperation, food cooked on little personal plas fires. There was an elevator, but it clearly didn't work. I didn't mind. Even through the titanic stink of human despair and dying cells. I'd rather smell stink than be caught in an elevator, unable to breathe as claustrophobe terror crawls down my throat. I followed Lucas up the stairs, Leander behind me. Graffiti rioted over the walls in permaspray. Most of the lights were broken or burned out. The ones that remained gave enough of a glow I could see every crack and splinter, every patched and unpatched hole in the wall, every small bit of trash and scuttling cockroach.
What the hell's a Magi doing here? She can't make rent?
Taken in by appearances?
Lucas's bloody sleeve flopped as he climbed the stairs with shambling grace.
Anwen don't like company, chica. But she owes me.
I wondered if Lucas liked to keep a few debts in reserve for just such an emergency. My skin chilled at the thought of the price he usually demanded from a scion.
Anyone with talent would have to be really desperate to hire him.
Jeff Ramel paid him. What would a demon pay the deathless?
I think I can live without knowing. Gods, let's just get this over with so I can go talk to Abra and start untangling this mess.
I didn't want to be here in the Tank. I wanted to be somewhere else, anywhere else, tracking down a killer. Gabe's killer, Eddie's killer. I had revenge to get started with. But if I could also find out exactly what Jaff was up to, I had to at least try. We reached the sixth floor.
One thing. Try not to scare her, Valentine.
I'll do my best. Of course, why anyone would be scared of me when you're around, Lucas, I can't imagine.
Good gods above, I'm actually bantering with Lucas Villalobos.
Lucas pushed the heavy fire door open. I saw a glimmer down at the end of the hall. Shield. Powerful, subtle shield.
I'm a reasonable man, Valentine. You ain't.
I'm reasonable. Considering everything that's going on, I'm damn reasonable.
Hear, hear. Shut up, deadhead. I do the talking here.
Leave him alone. He knows enough to keep his mouth shut when we're dealing with an edgy magi. Villalobos didn't dignify that with an answer. Lucas seemed to have no trouble navigating over the debris in the hall. Soy malt bottles, empty takeout cartons, rancid clothing, other shapeless bits of stuff. We reached the end of the hall. Apartment 6A. He knocked once, twisted the knob, and pushed the door wide. I watched the shimmering layers of power shunt aside from his aura, magical energy refusing to touch him. It was something I'd noticed about Lucas. He didn't use power himself, but it couldn't be used against him either. A breath of Kiffy-scented air puffed out, caressed the hall. I followed Lucas, stepping nervously through a cascading sheet of energy that parted to let me through, before flushing a deep, beautiful rose-spangled gold as whoever inhabited this place felt the power flux change around me. Leander followed, sweeping the door shut behind him. We found ourselves in a hardwood-floored entryway, smelling mellowly of beeswax, kiffy, and power.
Anubis at their gosh, she's powerful, whoever she is.
The shields were carefully done, a subtle taint of demon spice threading through them, telling me she was an active, demon-dealing magi. Like shaman, magi is a catch-all term for a wide range of variously talented scions. A magi might or might not know what to do with a demon when it pops up, depending on their study and depending on the demon. Magi have been trafficking with hell since before the Awakening, but before that great collective human leap forward in psionic and magical power, their methods had been spotty and uneven at best. Still, when the Awakening happened, the Magi were the only ones who had an idea of how to train psionic talent, or a framework for making power behave. Nowadays, all scions are Magi trained in memory power handling and theory of magic, but that doesn't make us all Magi. I knew how to call up an imp and constrain it in a circle now. I knew how to consecrate tools to be used in closing an etheric portal into hell and send a low-flight demon back. I even knew a few more things about demon anatomy than I had before. But demon-dealing magi are secretive in the extreme, committing information about their successful experiments in breaking the walls between our world and hell to only one apprentice at a time, and writing their shadow journals, the equivalent of a Skinlin's master sheets or a ceremonial's grimoire, in codes that could take months to break. Even if they work with circles, they don't share many of their private secrets. And I couldn't lay my hands on the great books of magic the accepted circles had access to. Another impasse. This one frustrating in the extreme because I needed to know more about what I was, what Javramel had made me. The inside of the apartment was a surprise. It held no trace of clutter or poverty. The floor was polished hardwood and the walls painted varying shades of rose, pale pink, and white. Lucas led us into a living room decorated with an altar draped in silver cloth and sporting a 3-foot-tall statue of Ganesh the Magnificent, the elephant god. There was a restrained fainting couch done in rose velvet and a Vuccellia print on the wall. An original, if my eyes didn't fool me. And the windows were cloaked with heavy silken drapes.
Ganesh, the remover of obstacles. Odd, but an effective choice now that I think about it. What better way to break the barriers between here and hell than with the help of a god who surmounts barricades?
The statue was an antique, creamy marble veined with gold and thrumming with power.
This magi takes her god seriously. As seriously as I take mine.
There was a click from the doorway opposite the one we'd come in through, and my sword left the sheath in a blur as I stepped instinctively in front of Leander. I knew I could take more damage. The magi, a slim, caramel-skinned woman with long, dark brown hair and a pair of wide gray eyes,
stared at us. She held a very nice 9mm Glock Strike projectile gun in her right hand, her stance braced and professional. She was pretty in an unremarkable way that wasn't helped along by the design of her tat, which wasn't flowing or graceful. She'd chosen an angular varyash design, like a ceremonial. It didn't do a thing for her face, being too thick-lined and sharp. But her aura flamed with power. She was strong for a human.
Drop the gun, girl, or I'll make you eat it.
Fuck me with a hover.
Her gray eyes flicked from Lucas to me, settling on me and widening. The gun dipped slightly, ended up pointing at the floor. She wore jeans and a pretty blue wide-sleeved square-necked shirt embroidered with cannon runes around the collar and cuffs.
This is your client, Villalobos?
A rill of excitement slid down my back. Her aura jittered slightly, her dread coloring the air like wine. It wasn't quite as drunkening as Polyamor the Sex Witch's, but it was still pleasant, because Carlyle's terror was tinted with the edge of attraction, a promise that filled the air like the smell of anything fragrant and good, and comprehension flowered in those wide-spaced, rainy gray eyes.
She knows something. A magi that knows something and owes Lucas a favor.
My sword slid back into the sheath.
That's right. I'm his latest employer. And I think we have some things to talk about, magi.
She pointed us toward a pile of cushions on one side of the living room, then stood with her back to her altar and her gun trained on Lucas. I didn't blame her. If I'd been human, it's what I would have done. Her eyes kept flickering over to me, no matter how steady the gun was.
So it's true.
Her tat shifted and strained uneasily under the skin of her left cheek.
What's true?
I didn't sit on a cushion, but I did try to keep my aura close and contained, not wanting to scare her more than was absolutely necessary. After all, she'd just let a part demon, a necromance, and Lucas in her front door. The necromance she was probably sure she could handle. Leander was human, just like her. But still, Lucas gave me a slanting, yellow-eyed look, pushing his lank hair back from his forehead.
Just tell her what you told me, Carlyle.
She licked her lips, examined me. The gun shook just a little. Her sleeve trembled, and her aura shivered right on the edge of going hard and crystalline, locking down. Her pulse throbbed under the damp mortal skin of her throat.
This cancels the debt?
There wasn't a scion in the building, but the psychically dense atmosphere kept her shields from being seen. She was almost perfectly hidden, like a scorpion under a rock. Not many people would brave both the tank and the filth of the building outside to intrude on her privacy, even if she did have to live with the psychic noise and stench of so many angry, scrabbling people. It was a fair trade-off.
What type of work does she do? And how the hell did she manage to turn this apartment into such a clean, luxurious nest?
She was combat-trained. The way she held the gun, the way she moved, told me as much.
She's very much like the person I had been. Before Rio, before Jaframel.
Cancels! Mostly. I did you a big favor, Carlyle.
I paid you. I may not be able to kill you, but I can hurt you plenty.
Will you two just get on with it so I can do what I have to do?
I wasn't going to be able to see Abra before the next sunset, so I might as well spend my time getting some information on demons and Ananki Mel. I was hoping like hell she knew something about Hedera, too. It would be a regular Puchkin Yule down here in the Bowery if she did.
I don't have time for petty bargaining, so if you two could finish up sometime this week, I'd appreciate it. I've got a lot of business to handle.
Tell her what you told me, Carlyle. I promise I won't make any sudden moves, unless you get jumpy again.
His smile, stretched over his pallid, thin face, was enough to send a faint shiver down even my back. The perfume of her fear made the mark on my shoulder throb pleasantly.
Is it because she's a magi?
I'd damn near drowned in Polyamor's pheromones before. This was a sharper feeling, like synthash spiked with thiolene. A stimulant like chill.
There's talk going around. There are demons boiling through the veil to our world. Imps have been sighted in ever-growing numbers, and there have been some disturbing signs at the collegium meetings.
Her eyes flicked over me again.
God, it's true. It has to be. You were chosen.
My eyebrows threatened to nest in my hairline.
Collegia? I thought they were a myth.
Collegia were supposedly secret societies of magi getting together to work collective magics across circle affiliations.
Damn, we're getting somewhere.
Chosen for what?
To be a human bride. A flesh wife.
Her pupils dilated, and the salt tang of her fear filled my mouth.
God damn it, none of the bounties I hunted made me feel like this. Scion or normal. What's wrong with me?
I believe the proper term is Hedera.
Do I sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about?
My emerald spat a single green spark, and she flinched.
Ugh.
Why don't you tell me everything you know about it, and everything you know about what's going on with the imps and these disturbing signs? I'm sure Lucas will be very satisfied with that. She eyed Lucas, eyed me. Her cheeks were a cheesy pale under the even caramel. Then, far braver than I would have been in her shoes, she eased the hammer of the gun back down.
I don't know much, but what I do, I'll tell you. And this cancels the debt, Villalobos. If anyone, magi or demon, knew I was talking to you like this, my life wouldn't be worth a bag of tank trash.
You got it. I'll even let you talk to her alone. Your kitchen's still in the same place?
Her hands were shaking, but she glared at him.
I'm beginning to like her.
Don't drink all the wine, you greedy bastard. Go, and don't touch anything else. You too, necromance.
It isn't like a scion to be so dismissive of another. Then again, precious little about this woman is normal, even for a magi.
Lucas shuffled out of the room. Leander touched my shoulder before he left. An awkward gesture that, oddly enough, didn't irritate me. Immediately, Carlyle became a lot calmer. She holstered the gun at her hip and took a few steps away from the altar.
When did it happen? The change? You're not magi. How did you convince the demon to do that? Which demon was it? Can you call him anytime you want, or...
I came here for answers, not to be interrogated. Keep it up and you'll owe Lucas more. She actually flinched again. Her hair fell down over her forehead in a soft wave. Then she collected herself.
May I, see it?
See what?
Is she blushing? She looks like she's blushing.
Mark? If it's not in a sensitive place?
I reached up with my right hand, pulled the neckline of my shirt out of alignment, popping a button so she could see a slice of the twisting, fluid scars that made Jaframel's mark in the hollow of my left shoulder. It hurts sometimes. I let go of my shirt.
I only have one book that mentions this. I got it when Villalobos asked me. Shaunley's Habits of the Circles of Hell, Morrigan's translation? The relevant passages are on pages 15, CR 16-0.
A magi-trained memory is a well-trained memory. She could probably see the page in front of her right now.
I remember because it's so utterly unlike anything else I've read.
Come on, any time now, lady. I don't have all fucking night.
But if I hurried her along, I might miss a critical piece of information.
I can't see Abra until tomorrow now. I suppose I do have all fucking night.
Shaunley says he came across old texts that assert the relationship between demons and human women goes back to pre-Sumerian days. Back in the times when demons were seriously worshipped as gods. Of course, they were worshipped as late as the Age of Enlightenment off and on, but that's neither here nor there. The point is priestesses in the temples and other women were sometimes chosen. The term Shaunley used is fleshwife, but he also used a very old Greco term for courtesan. It's close to a word that means more like companion or beloved in the demon tongue. Apparently, there were quite a few with a greater flight who bound themselves to a mortal woman, granting a piece of their power and receiving something in return. Nobody knows what.
She leaned back against her altar, probably taking solace in the nearness of her god. Her hand rested on the butt of the 9mm, the cuff of her sleeve falling gracefully down. I wondered where her other weapons were. She wasn't carrying steel. This was confirming several guesses I'd made, but I needed more.
They were wiped out in a catastrophe that took plenty of humans with them. There haven't been any more.
Except me. Wonderful.
So the Hedera is what? Half demon? A quarter?
Give me something I don't know. Anything. Come on!
It's not that simple. As close as I can figure, the demon and the flesh wife are literally one being. Whenever they're written about, it's in the singular, as if each pair is one person. The demon survives in our physical world through the flesh wife.
While you live, I live.
So, what happens if the flesh wife dies? Carlyle brightened. She was into the explanation now, like a yuppie bursting to tell someone about a new tech toy. Her eyes actually sparkled.
If the flesh wife dies, the fallen demon is sentenced to a slow fall into a mortal death, since she's his link to our world. That's straight from an inscription. Shanli actually made a rubbing of the original. The demon seems to be a lot harder to kill. You hear of them almost dying, and then they're fine again on the next page.
Oh boy. God damn. Whoa. That's
all I know. I'm sorry.
What about these disturbing rumors? And the imps?
There's a war going on in Hell. Someone's rebelled against the hierarchy of demons, and there's chaos. 4 magi in the last 2 weeks dead when they summoned an imp and got something else entirely. There are things riding the air and demonic activity we haven't seen on Earth since the Awakening. They're looking for something. I don't know what.
I stared at her, hoping I didn't look like an idiot. My mouth gaped open like a fish.
Looking for a treasure and a key. Jeff took me to visit the Angelicos, who had the treasure, but who had sent it, probably along a prearranged route. So there's something demonic bouncing around in the world, and a key to it, and all hell will probably break loose when someone gets their hands on it. Lucifer? Or the Rebellion?
The logical extension to that line of thinking unreeled inside my skull.
Or me.
A thin finger of ice traced up my spine.
Quit it. Be logical, Danny. Eve is the Rebellion, isn't she? But maybe she's not all the Rebellion. They're testing Lucifer because Santino got away, and nobody knows Jaframel was acting under orders in setting Santino free.
My head began to hurt with complex plot and counterplot.
No wonder Jaframel hasn't told me any of this. I visited the Angelicos with him and Eve afterward. If Jaff thinks Eve is after this treasure, he probably isn't sure what I've told her, or what I'm likely to tell her. Damn. I have to admit, if Eve's caused a war in Hell and is making this amount of trouble for Lucifer, I'm apt to feel more charitable toward her by the fucking minute.
But I didn't give a good god's damn about most of it. The only thing I was worried about right now was getting to Abra's and starting to track down Gabe's killer.
Okay. Anything else you can tell me before I get Lucas out of your hair?
You mean it? This cancels my debt?
I don't know what he did for you, Sunshine, but if I was you, I'd be happy to still be alive.
That's between you and Lucas. He's reasonable.
Far more reasonable than the alternative.
The perfume of her fear was stronger. Taunting me, she was giving out pheromones like a sex witch.
Are you staying in Saint City?
I have some business to sort out. Why?
If you want to come back, I'll trade for information about demons.
I wasn't sure I liked the gleam in her rainy eyes. I had a sudden nasty mental image of bringing Jaframel here, and quickly shoved it away.
I don't think you'd like that. They're worse than Lucas Carlyle. Much worse.
But you should know that. What if she smells like that because she's a demon-dealing magi? Polyamor smelled good because she's a sex witch. What if this magi smells good because she's been dealing with demons and I'm somehow picking up on it?
I've called imps. Properly constrained in a circle, they...
No.
Segment Sias, you have no goddamn idea, woman.
My right hand curled around my sword hilt. I'd taken on an imp once and gotten poison claws through my chest.
Forget it, magi. Just forget it.
Curtains moved slightly at the closed window, and I stilled, glancing at them.
I didn't do that.
The gauntlet turned cold on my wrist, a tugging sliding against the surface of my skin.
What the hell? What's this damn demon thing doing now? It's warned me of attacks before, but it's never done this.
I shook the sensation away and eyed the magi, whose cheeks had gone back to that alarming pale shade. Her hands shook.
Wait a goddamn second!
Lucas!
My hand curled around my sword hilt, and 3 inches of steel leaped free. I had to clamp down on my control not to draw the rest of the way. Lucas stuck his head out of the kitchen.
You bellowed?
The look he gave the trembling magi could only be described as predatory. I squeezed down the temptation to voice my sudden certainty that Carlyle might be having other visitors soon. Visitors who would be very interested in us. It was a faint mercy at best. But no matter what side of the demon's field she was playing, she was scared to death of Villalobos. And I remembered that feeling so well, I had no desire to put her through any more of it. I wondered bleakly if she was a Hellesfront agent, or if Jaframel was looking for me and it was just easier to find me when I hung around a demon-dealing magi. The gauntlet chilled again. A hard frost clamped to my wrist. The feeling was like icy water closing over my head. I surfaced, blinking, and the premonition passed by me again.
Damn it, I hate it when a precog won't land.
The other possibility, of course, was that it was another demon looking for me. Or this magi was working for someone other than Jaframel.
Be human, Danny. Prove you're still capable of it.
Time to go. Her debt's canceled. Come on. I spent the daylight hours pacing inside of a cheap Cherry Street hotel room, wishing I could get out and do something productive, shoving away the mental image of Gabe's body, the bite of frustration sharp and smelling of gun oil as I ground my teeth. Leander slept. Lucas settled in a chair by the window and contented himself with oiling and cleaning his projectile guns before falling into a healthy doze. Night was the time to go see Abra. She didn't truly open up until dusk. Darkness would also give us some cover. There was another component to my unease. We were near the same patch of sidewalk where the man who had raised me since infancy had been fatally knifed by a chill freak because his old chronograph looked pawnable. I used to visit the site every year. Hadn't since the hunt for Mirovich.
Maybe I should go back, buy some flowers. Will I even be alive for the anniversary of his death? Can I make up for the recent time spent with Jaframel when I haven't brought myself to the site because of distance? Or just plain cowardice?
Time had become fluid while I lived with Jaff. I wasn't even sure what month it was. Only that the trees had lost their leaves, but the streets weren't cold enough for dead winter yet. Finally, after dark, Leander led us up 9th Street and cut over on Downs, probably meaning to work down on Fisk to Clondell. I could have told him to take Avery instead. After all, Fisk would take us right through a really ugly part of the tank district. But I was too occupied taking note of all the other changes that had happened to my city. I kicked at a Plasmalt 40 bottle. Downs was deserted this time of night, since all the reputable businesses patronized by normals closed about 7. At Fisk and 20th, we would start to see some nightlife. It was the edge of the hooker-patrolled part of the district. Even though Downs was deserted, I could see changes. Graffiti scrawled in permaspray, mage bars on some windows. That warned of the tank spreading this way. Lucas scanned the rooftops, blinked like a lizard, and massaged his left shoulder. It bothered me to see his clothes stiff with dried blood, though I couldn't have said why.
Well, you managed to stay incognito a whole 12 hours. Now everyone knows you're back. And plenty know you look like a serious genetic remodel. Abra's is getting hot. What with people coming and asking about you.
When did I get so fucking popular?
Who's asking about me?
And do any of these people want to know about me so they can figure out if Gabe had time to talk?
It felt good to consign all my problems with demons to the back of my brain. Even if the image of Gabe flung over the hemlock wouldn't go away, I pushed it down.
Courier messages from the Tanner family, 4 or 5 bounty hunters, a werecane, some shaggy bastard with striped fur, a Nick Fring girl. She left you an envelope. Couple sleekboard couriers, a shaman who works on a clinic out on 40...
Segment Sias. Fuck.
There he goes again. When did I become so fucking amusing?
That's not all. A core clone from Peak of Ice Farm, too. Everyone's looking for you. Lucky me finding you first.
Leander turned on Fisk Avenue. His shoulders were level under his rig. He hadn't flinched once. The street lamps painted his hair with soft darkness, and he moved with the caution all bounty hunters acquired after a few successful but hard-fought collars.
I like him. I'm glad he didn't skip out on me.
Lucas's eyes followed mine.
Good kid. Came and found me at Abra's. told me the demon was sleeping out while you were asleep. Also told me Boy Black warned him to stay away from you. Seems your demon's jealous.
Had I put Leander in danger just by smiling at him? Enjoying his company? Well, let's be honest here, Danny. You like the man. He's a bounty hunter and he's human. Human. Something Jeff isn't. You like hanging around him, and Jeff Ramil's reacting the way any jealous lover would.
I decided a subject change would be a fantastic idea. How are we gonna get in Abra's front door without anyone noticing? If so many people are looking for me, at least one of them will figure out just to stay near Abra's until I show up.
That was a dumbass question.
The sidelong look Lucas gave me showed he didn't think much of it either.
Abra spread a quiet rumor that there's bad blood. You gypped her on the payment on that hush-hush Rio bounty. Said she's going to take it out of your hide if you come near. Figured that was enough to keep most of them away. I'm gonna take you in the back door. Leander will waltz in the front and see if we have any eyes.
He sounds horrible. Like a man dying of slag lung.
Good.
I didn't even know Abra had a back door.
So any more word on the demon Jaff's after? Other than your magi's, I mean.
Eve. Is she here? If she is, where is she hiding? Why would she come here? Why would so many people, and other species, be looking for me? And bounty hunters, too. God damn it, Gabe, what's going on?
Gabe couldn't answer, but it felt good to think of her as if she was still alive. I felt the rage rise again. I corralled it. Again. I couldn't afford to get too angry too soon. The trouble was, my control was wearing thin. The gauntlet was so cold against my wrist, the metal heavy and dissatisfied. The feeling of a precog rose, pressing maddeningly out of reach.
Hope you got something worthwhile out of that beach. That was an expensive favor I did her. All I've heard is there's a demon in town and he's dug in deep. Gonna take a lot to blow its bolt off. But if anyone can, it's your sweetheart.
Don't call him that. I scanned the street again, the back of my neck prickling. Lucas, we're being watched.
Probably. You gonna give the demon a niner, Valentine? Or maybe send him a that flash breakup?
Maybe he thought he was being funny, but irritation rasped against my skin, along with the maddening feeling of something I'd forgotten to think about. I'll deal with Jeff Ramil.
Oh yeah, a bloody great success you've been at that so far, Danny.
Lucas, do you know any other magi that could be induced to talk?
Depends on what you want to talk about.
He looked around again, a quick reptilian movement that made his lank hair swing.
I thought you said her debt was cancelled.
She gave me enough, Lucas. I just want to find out more. Another magi might have a piece of the puzzle, might be able to tell me more about what I am.
And tell me more about this little rebellion in hell. I've thought all along that there were more players in this game than just Lucifer and Eve. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
What? You don't know?
I don't know all of it. I've got some good guesses. I'm figuring everything out.
Why am I so uneasy? It feels familiar. A half-remembered sensation of my skin crawling with little prickling teeth. If it's not a premonition, then what is it?
You're an idiot.
If only you knew how much of an idiot I really am, Lucas.
I kicked another Plasmalt 40 bottle. Someone had a taste for something a little more expensive than soy malt. It must be bad around here for the street drones not to come through and collect the bottles. The graceful arcs of plasteel street lamps cast sickly orange circles on the street. No street-side hover traffic. I had a sudden sense of a storm approaching. You try shacking up with a demon and killing Santino. Then try hunting down a rabid feeder and having your brains turned into a barrel of reactive mush. I'm figuring it out, Lucas. Don't fucking ride me. I'm not in the mood.
Ooh, what's got you in a twist, chica?
Leander's footsteps slowed. We caught up to him, but before Lucas could open his mouth, I dropped my news. I had to tell him sooner or later. Gabe Spokarelli's dead. So's Eddie. Eddie Thornton. Something got them both hit. But before she was hit, Gabe got my promise to hunt down Eddie's killers. It's personal.
You may decide it has nothing to do with you, Lucas. If you do, we're gonna part ways.
I got a full 5 seconds of deathly silence.
Don't suppose it would have anything to do with the bounty hunters or the mob, would it?
Or the Nichtfren or the Werecane? Could be Lucifer playing with the mix again. For a moment, chills danced along my skin, the gauntlet heavy on my left wrist. I wondered if somewhere in hell, the devil heard me when I spoke his name. The anger simmering in my belly rose to a fresh pitch.
I should never have answered my door that rainy Monday morning. I should never have followed Jaframel out of my house and into the subway.
You must trust me to do what you cannot.
The thought of Jaff somewhere out in my city, hunting Doreen's daughter despite anything he felt for me, made me glance over my shoulder and check the street. The whine of hover anti-grav overhead made me want to look up. The silent street itself made me itch to get undercover.
I hate to interrupt, but I think we're being followed.
My thumb caressed the katana's guard.
This is personal, and it looks big. It's not what you two contracted for. You can take a vacation until I finish looking into... Oh, shit.
A low, sleek shape melded out of an alley on the west side of Fisk and loped down the street toward us.
Son of a bitch.
Lucas stepped away from me, a 60-watt plasgun appearing in his hand. Leander's jaw dropped. The shape shook itself, then it hunched its massive, corded shoulders and looked straight at me. The hellhound's eyes were glowing red coins. Heat smoked off its lithe, lethal body of living obsidian. It raised its head, sniffing like a dog scenting fresh meat. The cuff of metal on my left wrist suddenly ran with cold fire, blazing with lines and whorls of green flame over its smooth and silver surface. And to top off the fun and games, Jaframel's mark on my left shoulder crunched into painful life as I tasted copper.
Leander, get behind me. And for the sake of every god that ever was, when I tell you to, run.
Lucas faded left, moving out into the street in a gentle arc to put himself between me and the thing. My right arm tensed, 3 inches of burning blue steel leaping free of the scabbard.
I'm gonna have to drop the scabbard and go for a plasgun. Lucas shot the other hellhounds and it stunned them.
The thing seemed indisposed to attack. Just crouched there, watching us.
Watching me.
I finished drawing my sword, and the steel's heart turned white again, flaring with sharp, pavement-drenching light. Runes of blue fire curled along the edges of the blade. A blessed weapon, but one that had its own strange ideas.
Yet another thing to add to my rapidly growing to-do list. Go visit Jado and ask him about this sword. Right after I visit Abra and start unraveling whatever has happened to Gabe. And hopefully before Jaframel gets back to find his agent tied up and me gone.
I was getting pretty good at running away from him.
He's getting very good at finding me.
Now there was an uncomfortable thought. Maybe he wouldn't find me too quickly this time, though.
After all, I'm on home ground.
Even a few years away shouldn't have changed the bolt holes and flux points of the city too much. If there was one place on Earth I felt capable of hiding in, it was Santiago City.
Hiding sounds like a good idea. Just as soon as we figure out what to do about this thing. That's at the top of my to-do list.
The hellhound paced forward a step. Its eyes were still fixed on me. It hugged the opposite side of the street, and I began to feel a little, well, nervous.
Okay, I'm a lot nervous.
My sword dipped, instinctively taking the guard against attacks from below.
What is that thing doing? The hellhound's never hesitated before. They've just come straight at me.
A very nasty assumption began to surface under my conscious mind. I stepped forward. Leander had turned to a stone, his aura flushed, deep purple red like a bruise.
Kel? Velokel?
That hellhound launched itself at me.